This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, Survivor News Edition, episode 203, Teeter Totter. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Survivor News. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants Podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. And as always, with your Survivor News edition of the Purple Pants Podcast, you can follow along on this audio podcast on YouTube. Just head over to YouTube, type in Bryce Isaiah, subscribe to that YouTube page, give this video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments what you think. Yes, we are off of the heels of episode 5, which we also had a Bryce and Wim present the homecoming in Philadelphia. And shout out to all of our friends and family, because you know y'all are not fans. We as friends and family that pull up on us, and we really had such an amazing time. It was like literally a movie. Your baby boy was wetting his whistle and just cutting up and just having such a great time. And I am really excited because this episode was given, whew, juicy. So I am joined this week with Jack Atkins from Netflix season 2, The Circle. When DZ is on spring break this weekend, he's got a delivery in Atlanta. So it is going to be Jack and myself holding it down this week on Survivor News. So listen, without further ado, let's get into Survivor News. And we are back this week with your Survivor News covering Survivor season 43, episode 5. And I am joined with the baby boy, the Jack Atkins from the Netflix Circle season 2. And the floor is lava. What's popping, baby boy?
Woo! Bryce, where am I at right now? Do you know?
I mean, the background doesn't, it's not giving dorm room. So, I mean, is it the city of brotherly love?
How'd you know that? Just by the background. That's right. I obviously, you know, but for the listeners at home, I was at the Bryce and Wen Presents Homecoming Philadelphia last night.
Oh.
Bryce put me up in this lovely hotel. So I'm sticking around. And yeah, I had a great time. So Bryce and I are kicking it after this, going to grab some food. And it's just good to be in the city of brotherly love.
Yeah. And shout out to Philadelphia for definitely showing up and showing out the vibes, the movement. Ooh. Where it definitely, you know, Philly always shows out. But I feel like this time they show out. We had a lot of surprise guests, you know, but Jack was in the building.
You had, by surprise guests too, you had the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers was there. I think everyone was surprised. Did you know he was coming?
I mean, I had got wind that he was coming, but we weren't sure if he was actually going to come. But it was crazy because, like, he's one of those people that, like, if you know, you know. And the sports fans that were in the building watching the Phillies, they were just shocked. Like, you know, Bryson Wynn, no people. But just a huge shout out to everyone that came out. The love was so amazing. And if I didn't get to say hi, I apologize. I tried to do as much as I could, but it was just like the vibes was just going crazy. Like, yeah. Baby boy, I feel like I saw Jack once.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot going on, but I've never had a bad time at a Bryson Wynn Presents. So
hey.
Anyone else who's in Boston or y'all did DC so far, Boston?
Not yet. So we've got Boston coming up November 9th. And listen, Boston is practically sold out. Like, it's like kind of crazy. So yeah, Boston, we're headed to you next. We're getting ready to drop our flyer. So, you know, Boston, pull on up. And then from Boston, we've got the District in DC. Okay, we're hitting the District twice. We'll be there with Rob. And then we are coming back in December. And then the grand finale, December 14th. And again, the finale list is shaping up to be so amazing. So listen, the first leg of the Bryson Wynn Present Tour is a wrap. And now we are gearing up for our second leg. We are hitting Boston, DC.
Wait, Bryce, can you go back to that Boston flyer real quick?
Oh, okay. Let's go back to the Boston flyer for the baby boy.
Interesting.
Oh.
No, I was just, because I'm going home for Thanksgiving break, but I think that might be a little later. Oh, but I was thinking maybe a good.
I'd be listening.
Scoot on over to Boston. Because, like, my best friend's in Boston.
So, yeah, we would definitely love to have you. And listen, get your tickets for the Bryson Wynn Present Boston, DC, LA. Click the link in my Instagram bio. Click the link in Wendell's Instagram bio or head over to the Bryson Wynn Present Instagram or our Twitter, Bryson Wynn. And definitely bless your life. I don't know about you, Jack, but I definitely made it a concerted effort to watch the episode. I started off, I was good, and then, you know, we're doing the giveaways, and then, you know, the champagne, I had to take a shot, and then your baby boy was off to the races.
A lot of people, you know, the vibes were immaculate in Philadelphia. A lot of made me feel warm and welcome, and a lot of people were trying to buy me shots. And I was like, guys, I'm trying to be responsible out here. But, you know, one thing led to another. And we might have been a little tipsy, but it was a good time. Bryce, I do want to say.
Okay.
I mentioned. Wait, so I watched. It was hard to watch last night. It was chaotic. I watched it again today. Were you able to catch it again? Or
yeah, I had to do a rewatch. So I did a rewatch earlier today on my lunch break because baby boy had to get up early go to work. So I was like, okay, my lunch break, I'm going to watch Survivor. But then I realized I ain't have nothing to eat. And I just watched your Instagram story. And I feel like your late dinner, my lunch was sponsored by Wawa.
I had it for the first time last night. And it was actually really funny. At the Wawa, we were checking out, and the cashier was like, and she had like a Delk. I was in Conshohocken.
Oh, Conshohocken.
My boy Mitch and Ed, and they got the accent, the Delco accent. And she was like, hey, you look like that dude from The Circle. And I was like, I am that dude from The Circle. She's like, no way. You know Mitch and Eddie? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh my God. They're like family. And she was like freaking out. And then I was a little drunk. So I started talking to her. I was like, oh, you don't mention Eddie. And we took a picture and I had a phenomenal sandwich. It was just a good time. But Bryce, before we hop into the episode.
Wait, before we even go into this, I just have to correct you. That's not your first time having a Wawa sandwich.
Oh,
do you remember the last time you were in Philly, I think you got before, because I'm such a hospitable host when I checked you into your room, you a little goodie bag and left you a Philly hoagie from Wawa.
You're absolutely right. My fault. That's the first time I've been to a Wawa.
Oh, okay.
But you're absolutely the baby boy has blessed me with some Wawa in the past. But I wanted to say I was talking about this with you before. The episode, but I always come with some new tricks up my sleeve for each episode.
Okay, which
but I know in the past you said I need some Hoochie Daddy shorts. And so I have these shorts that were way too long. They like went down to my knees. So I cut them to be like a little shorter. But I need to know if these qualify as hoochie daddy short.
First of all, those are fire, Jack. And they definitely are hoochie daddy shorts.
Let's go.
I always think it's so funny when people meet you in person, and I forget that, like, I sometimes forget how tall Jack is, but I think that that's the first people when people meet you, they're like, baby boy is tall.
Yeah, but now they're going to be saying, baby boy got the hoochie daddy shorts. It's a look.
It's a look. It definitely is a look. Keep
is this giving is this giving Survivor 45?
I mean, that definitely would get you the Bryce Isaiah stamp of approval. Okay, thumbs in the pocket. Okay, we see you, baby boy.
But anyways, so let's get into the episode. I feel like it's hitting extra different after we watched it together at the event last night. So I'm excited to break it all down.
For sure.
But we start off.
Oh, wait, time out. We forgot to address the elephant in the room. When DZ is on spring break. Okay. We had the battle of the moderators. And I said, you know what? We just going with Jack Psych.
We're firing them. No, I'm
kidding. Wendell had a beef delivery in Atlanta. So Wendell and Joey are headed to Atlanta currently. And then they will be in Atlanta next week for Davey's Halloween watch party. Oh, yeah. So, you know, head over to Davey Rickenbacker's Instagram page. There are tickets available. And so, yeah. So that's where the baby boy Wendeezy is currently today. But, you know, we're going to say he on spring break.
Mm-hmm. I miss him already. If he needs to be moderator next time, he could do it. I don't want him to leave the pod. Nah, I'm kidding. But another week, another Jack Atkins moderating. And so without Wendell here, I feel like it's a little more chaotic. Because it almost just feels like we're FaceTiming right now. You
know what I mean? Are our FaceTimes chaotic?
They can be. Yeah. But this is the podcast, so I gotta stay focused. So we start off. We're over at the Baca tribe. And Janine and Ellie are on the search for potentially some idols, some advantages, and
well time out, Jack. Let me do my moderator skills as well, because I feel like we start off at Coco.
Yes.
From last week. And I feel like, you know, Cassidy came back. Spicy Cassidy. I think that I have to say, we saw her last week at the challenge when Noelle and Dwight was helping Baca. And, you know, Jack said, how do you feel about them helping? And Cassidy said, losers link up with the losers. And, you know, Cassidy really came back and wanted to know what was happening, how she got her name written down. And so she thought Ryan was like, I'll take one for the team and I'll talk with her. But then Gio stepped up and Gio was like, well, it was me. And it's interesting to see how comfortable Gio is in these moments of talking to Cassidy, where I feel like Gio, in his mind, is in a position of power. The votes kind of sort of went his way last week. And I love my baby boy Gio, but I was like, watching this made me a little uncomfortable, just in the sense of, I felt like because Gio feels as though he is in a power position and that Cassidy's at the bottom, he's not really giving a lot of, what's the word that I want to use? Like, he's not shy about letting her know where he believes that she is at. From his perspective,
he's not using a lot of tact.
Yeah. And and I understand it. But at the same time, it's like, Gio, like, what are you doing? Like, even if you're not with her, like, Gio.
And then it was funny when he asked her, he was like, well, did you vote for me? He's right. Like, well, I voted for Lindsay. Like, did Lindsay vote for herself? Like, I love Cassidy's sass to Gio. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And I appreciate you hopping in and making sure we start right at the top. But yeah, definitely some fallout. And we, as you said, we clearly see that Gio and Ryan kind of think they're at the top. Cassidy sort of thinks they're at the top, but I think Cassidy's approaching it with a lot more finesse than Gio and Ryan are.
Right. And in the sense that Cassidy is talking to everyone. Like, I feel like from what we see, Gio's really only talking to Ryan. So I definitely feel as though Cassidy has position herself really well with this tribe. And I feel like it is a common thread throughout this episode as to when we see the different tribes, in my opinion, it's that person that can kind of like lie in the middle. And when we get to some of the other tribes, I definitely have some winner pick changes or just some people that I might have been a little harsher on that I actually am thinking to myself, like, maybe I need to like put on some different glasses and you know, see them in a different light, because I'm trying to evolve my way of thinking. But all right, go ahead, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we bounce over to the Baka tribe. They haven't been a tribal since the first tribal, but we see that no one has found an advantage yet within this group, at least aside from Gabler's initial idol. But we see Ellie and Janine split off, and Janine sees this like suspicious looking tree and goes and checks it out. And lo and behold, there is a beware advantage covered in ants wedged in between the tree. And so she fishes it out and decides to open it up. And it's the same beware advantage that we've seen found on the other beaches. And she's reading it, and they're debating whether to tell Owen or not. The camera pans to the back, and Owen comes in as they're talking about it and catches them red-handed. And so they end up telling Owen about it. And Owen, I think, makes a really good move, a sign of good faith, and immediately says, like, here, you can have all my beads. Like, I hope this is a sign of trust. Which I think is smart, because no matter what Owen thinks about it, he can give the beads, and then if he doesn't want her to get the idol, he could always go to someone else and say, don't give her your beads. And then that he's really just continuing to do a pretty good job of playing the middle as we've seen him so far. But what did you think about this whole scene and Janine finding the advantage?
Well, I loved it that, you know, Owen just happened to be Owen was a little parched, and he was going to top off his canteen and kind of sort of stumbled upon, you know, Janine and Ellie. And again, like, I, you know, Ellie is my girl. I love her. I've enjoyed watching her thus far, but it is interesting because I feel like in these moments, it's like, again, I wouldn't say sloppy gameplay, because it's like, you know, you're opening your idol, but like, you know, in Survivor, I'm going to open it, read it, and move on. Like, you know, it seemed that they were like relishing a little bit, and like literally, like, she was like, we're not going to tell Owen. And then they were going through the things as to, like, you know, they trust Sammy. They clearly don't want to bang with Gabler. And, you know, Owen was a little wishy-washy for them, so they weren't sure as to whether or not they wanted to bring him in. And then when Owen arrived, I felt like he did a great job of being like, I see you. What is that? And so they, you know, had to tell him. But again, I think that Owen really kind of surprised me here, in the sense that we know that Owen is a gamer. We know he loves the game of Survivor. And, you know, Owen is like, well, listen, I'm with Sammy and Gabler right now. And, you know, they're asking for my bead. And as a sign of good faith, I'm going to give my bead, because, like, I just want to align myself with, I want to be the decision vote. I want to go with whatever I think is, like, more comfortable. And I think that that is a great decision on the curmudgeon that is Owen, that's thirsty, that just wanted to, like, you know, wet
the
his
thirsty curmudgeon.
A thirsty curmudgeon that is Owen. And so I just think that it was a great decision on his part to kind of give him the bees. Now, I probably would have to say, given I try to put myself in that position, and I don't know if I would have given my beads up so easily, only in the sense that I feel like my spidey senses would have went up when I pulled up on them and they were being shady. Like, I feel like I don't think I would have said anything to anyone else just yet, but I don't think that I would have committed my beads so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Very fair. And I think, well, we see what happens where then Ellie goes on a walk with Sammy. And as we've talked about, Ellie's a good player, but just doesn't know how to keep things secret. And so she tells Sammy right away that Janine has found this and that she's going to need the beads. And then, now, at this point, 4 out of 5 tribe members know when Janine needs to go collect the beads, and she's able to convince Gabler. And then Sammy tells Gabler about it, all of it after. But I think it's like, I think in the moment, it's like, oh, it's just beads, like it's just an idol, whatever. But I feel like if I'm in Sammy's shoes, especially where I really want to work with the men, I'd really give a really strong effort to go just even whisper to Gabler before it happens, like,
Gabler, do not give her your beads. Because A, then the blame is not really on you. It's on Gabler. And then B, the person you potentially want out just loses her vote and doesn't have an idol. So it's like, if you're Sammy, I think the losing the vote part is really important too, because if you're Sammy and you're worried about Owen at all, if Janine loses her vote, then you know that you and Gabler have at least half of the numbers. And then obviously her getting an idol on top of that just makes it even worse.
Yeah, I think one of the people that I had to put my reading glasses on was for Sammy. I think that, again, you know, Sammy bothers me with this whole, like, they can't know I'm 19, but I'm 22. And like, because you know me, in my opinion, that's not much of an age difference. However, what I will say is I respect the hell out of Sammy because, one, first of all, it was so awkward for me watching Sammy and Ellie being so overly excited, telling Sammy, like thinking that she's telling a good alliance member. Yeah. And here's Sammy like, I have to pretend to be happy.
Definitely.
And then, you know, he goes and tells Gabler. And because, like, you know, Gabler just... We don't know what Gabler not playing the game. Gabler just laying down, just cooling out. Like he's not like what a Gabler body shutting down. Gabler like, I just got to rest. I can't, like, you know. And so Sammy does not, because while we were at the watch party, I was talking to some Survivor fans and I was saying, like, why doesn't Sammy just blow it up right now? Like, or just like at least, and the Survivor, like they were telling me, like, well, it's actually pretty smart of Sammy because, again, he's aligning himself right in the middle of the situation. And, you know, when he went and told Gabler that, and now it's like, you know, now Gabler knows and no one else knows. And so it's like really just seeing how hard Sammy is going, it really makes me respect his game a lot. However, I do feel like, I don't know if I see winner from Sammy just because I do feel like he is doing so much double crossing, or not even double crossing. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like it's going to soon illuminate to others how well Sammy is in the know of his tribe.
Yeah, definitely. But no, I know exactly what you're saying. I don't know if I see winner from him yet, but I think he's a very solid player.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the fact that he wants to target Ellie, but really has Ellie believing that they're good allies, I think is a testament to how he's playing the game. And he's probably personally my favorite to root for right now. But I'm interested to see how he navigates the merge. I definitely get some sort of like Michael Jurger vibes in a way from him, where they're both playing really well. And then they get to the merge and things might get a little more complicated. So I'm excited to see what happens. And it's kind of a shame we didn't get to see Baka go to, because as we see in the trailer for the next episode, there's going to be a merge. And it's kind of a shame when they get to see Baka go back to another tribal, because I think with all of these advantages and all these different dynamics, it would have been a really interesting pre-merge tribal council.
Now, I have a question. If they make the merge, is Gabler's idol now null and void?
I think he might get it for one more.
Like one more vote at like when we merge, because that's the vote that like he participates in that tribal council.
But I'm not certain. But it would be kind of funny if Gabler's just chilling the merge episode. But then, yeah, we bounce over.
All right, now let me ask you a question. It seems that a lot of people, like, I guess we hear Janine and this telling their reasons as to who they kind of sort of work with. And basically, they essentially say that Gabler is a bit cranky around camp. They say that Owen is kind of sort of paranoid. If you were Sammy, would you, like, given the information that we know as viewers, do you think that you would be more comfortable to align with Gabler or more comfortable to align with Owen? Because in my perspective, I feel like, and maybe it's just me, I feel like I would definitely like want to lock it in with Owen as well. But it doesn't seem that like no one has locked it in with Owen. And so it really kind of leaves Owen, in my opinion, on this tribe, the most free agent.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think we've seen bits and pieces of them having a solid relationship. Like, I do think if they went to tribal, that it would be sort of the three guys together trying to make something happen. But Owen's definitely done a good job of keeping himself in a decent spot in the middle. But at the same time, so is Sammy. It feels like everyone on the tribe kind of trusts Sammy. So it's definitely a very interesting group. And I think there's also something to be said that if I was in Sammy's position, I think working with Gabler and Owen might be the better move in the pre-merge. But also, I think, you know, if you somehow get to the merge with Ellie and Janine, they're going to be seen as such a tight duo that if someone decides to target Baka and you're a big threat like Sam, like just a big guy like Sammy, who's also a good strategist, that having that as a sort of shield might actually be helpful. Whereas if you go with Gabler, you're obviously going to be the bigger target there. And so maybe he's a better ally due to his loyalty, but it might not be the guy you want to be sitting with throughout the merge.
Well, right. And it's like you want an active player as well. You don't want someone that's kind of like all of this is going on around camp and like you know nothing about. I do think that, like, you know, I'm huge team Ellie. And I think that if Ellie and Janine can make it to the merge, I really do feel like this season we will see a girl all female alliance, in the sense that we've seen three females go home very early. So Mariah, Lindsay. Janine,
Lindsay, and
not Janine.
Mecca. Justine.
Okay, right. So I would definitely think that, like, if Ellie and Janine can get with the other females, I definitely think there would be a concerted effort to, like, let's try to lock it in, which I feel like could be detrimental to Sammy or not, because I mean, Ellie still really trusts Sammy. So, I mean, either way, I'm excited to see how this dynamic of this group will pan out with the merge.
Yeah. And I think for the remaining women, it's almost a good thing that a lot of women have gone so far, because I feel like there's sort of a natural equilibrium post-merge where, you know, we've never seen a Survivor season where it's just like the final nine is like all guys, you know? So if you're one of the final remaining women, I feel like in a way there's that sort of natural gender balance that has to happen where it can give you a little bit of extra safety. And there's a lot of big guys out there that need to be targeted. It kind of reminds me of, like, I think it was Millennials versus Gen X where they merged at 13. And I think there was four women left and all of them made it pretty far. But yeah, I think there's something to be said about that. But
agree. Yeah.
But then we head over to the immunity challenge, kicking it off early, where the tribes have to go through this branch sort of obstacle and transfer buckets of water over a teeter totter in order to open a gate. A teeter totter.
Is that the right name for it though? A teeter totter? Like, I would think a seesaw. A netted seesaw.
Well, I think, yeah, it's like both.
I think people call it sounds more sophisticated. Hearing Jeff say a teeter totter, I don't know. It's just like, should we get the Brictionary out?
I'm team teeter totter, but because I think a seesaw, it's sort of like
a netted seesaw.
No, I just think it sort of has like the implication that like people are sort of sitting on both sides and like counterbalancing. Whereas a teeter totter, it teeters and then it totters. And then that's all there is really to it. But over the teeter totter, and then they use those buckets of water in order to open up a gate, and then where they get three balls and they have to roll them up a ramp. And I thought that the ramp mechanism was interesting because there wasn't any sort of divots that they had to land it in. They just had to get it up and then it went down a little bit and they had to get it to rest right in that platform without it falling off the back or coming back up the front.
Yeah, and I have to say, these last two challenges, I have absolutely loved these challenges. I feel like they're a play on old challenges mixed with new aspects to it, and I definitely think it's just like they're just such great equalizers, like to be roped together to go through this like wooden maze, then the teeter totter, and then to get up there and do the ball thing. It really was just like, I thought this challenge was like great. And I felt like it could be in everyone's wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. So I thoroughly enjoyed it just to see them like connected together and going through it. But again, I just have to say during the challenge, you know, I just be minding my business. And I always feel like in the hell is James Jones doing? So if you watch the episode, they're netted together. And it seemed like when they got out of the jungle, like, you know, James Jones, like does this role flip? And I was just like, how do you do a role flip when you are connected to Cassidy?
James finds a way.
Like,
I like how you always notice the James Jones moments.
Yeah, because he's flipping out of it. Like, how do you flip out of it and doesn't pull Cassidy out? Like, I just was like, what is going on?
It's a good question. And it was funny. I was talking to him last night.
Huh?
What?
In your head?
Yeah. Yeah. And no, via, I was messaging with him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was messaging with him and he said it was, he's like, you know, the pre-merge challenges, I was beasting all of them. Now, he's done a good job, but it's always, it's funny that we always have a James Jones moment where he's like 20 feet behind, right. They're like hanging upside down.
He's stuck in a net.
Yeah. He's tottering when he's supposed to be teetering.
He's on the stall, but it's C.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, we see the, so we get to the end of the challenge where they got to roll the balls up. Vezzy wins. There's a point, I think, where they're all tied 2-2-2. And I think Dwight lands the winning shot for Vezzy.
Okay.
Your twin.
My twin.
And then Ryan appears to accidentally knock all of the balls off. But after the fact, he said that he intentionally threw the challenge. We can get more to that after we wrap up the challenge. But then we see Sammy hit the game winner for Baca to secure second place. And it's funny. This was the first time, you know, you've obviously talked so much about the whole 1922 thing. He hit him after they won. He hit him with the, I ain't been to Chuck E. Cheese that much. And I said, maybe now people are going to know that he's 19 instead of 22.
I mean, it's something a 22
would say. A 22-year-old would say Dave and Buster's.
Oh, I thought maybe they would say, well, do you know what a do you remember Discovery Zone, Jack?
No. What's that?
So it's kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese, and maybe it's like regional to like the West Coast, but it kind of was like Chuck E. Cheese, but it was like Discovery Zone. They had like a ball pin, maze, and they would like sell pizza, but it was like, you know, the Discovery Zone. And random story, when I was like in, because I was on a school bus. So I want to say I was in like third, fourth grade. It was like maybe my birthday landed on a Saturday and it was like the Friday before my birthday. And I remember I was like so excited because my mom was taking me and my brothers to Discovery Zone. They had just opened the one up. And I got like so excited thinking about it that like I broke out in hives at school. Like I literally like a redness was all over my face, my body. And
are you sure you didn't have allergies?
No, like I literally was just so excited because that was, I was like, I'm going to Chuck E. Cheese tomorrow. Going to Chuck E. Cheese. Like I literally
Discovery
like
Zone. Right?
Discovery Zone. Yeah. Discovery Zone. But I broke out with hives just being so excited to go to Discovery Zone.
That sounds like an amazing time. Quick question. Do you know what I saw this the other day randomly. Do you know what Chuck E. Cheese stands for? that's like his nickname.
Kerchuckamus?
No, it's
Ernest.
It's Charles Entertainment Cheese.
What?
Yeah, that's what Chuck E. Cheese stands for.
I feel like that sounds even more creepier than Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
It sounds like an adult adult
entertainment emporium.
Entertainment video empire. Like, yeah.
Anyways. Good thing Sammy hasn't been there that much.
maybe that's the 22-year-old Sammy knows about Charles Entertainment. What is it? Cheese?
Cheese.
Like cheese. Like where does the cheese come in after Charles Entertainment Cheese?
It's just the three things they have. They just got.
He's got Charles. Yeah.
You got Charles.
Okay.
You obviously got entertainment.
He likes to entertain, and as mom growing up used to make cheese boards.
Yeah.
He was like,
it's on their pizza. I mean, have you seen the controversy that the pizza they like, have you heard about this?
Do tell.
With the Chuck E. Cheese pizza? There's a controversy where it was suspected that they would take leftover pizza slices from other pizzas they served. And then combine them all to a new pizza. And so all the pieces would be like different, like weird sizes. And the pepperonis like wouldn't be like connecting. You should Google it. It's pretty crazy.
I don't know if Charles Entertainment.
Charles Entertainment. He had to go to court for that one.
Did they lose or win?
I don't know. Charles knows some people.
He's it's an entertainment business. You don't need all the pieces sliced.
Mr. Cheese, put your hands up. You have the right to remain silent.
It's just for entertainment purposes. The cheese is just added. Oh, I'm dead.
Oh. And so, also, but what do you think about Ryan saying after the challenge that he decided to throw it?
I likes me some Ryan, okay? I really do. But Ryan, why? And again, I can understand there are some points in times, like, I can understand if it were last week, right? And the Coco tribe has not seen tribal at all. And sometimes it's like, you know what? Let's go to tribal one so we could, you know, flex our muscles,
get
our feet wet. And two, it's like, let's kill some dead weight. But like, I don't know. And maybe we're not seeing it all, but from what we have seen from episode one and episode five, Gio and Ryan are in the minority of the group. Like, we don't see them really interacting with too many other people but them. We see Cassidy, we see Carla, we see James, and we saw Lindsay, all, like, you know, really kind of like talking it up, you know, seesawing it, teeter-totting. And so, like, for me, it is just like, I don't know, I guess it really can. This is the thing about Survivor that I think can mess a lot of players up, where, again, I'm just looking at it from a viewer perspective, is that we clearly see Gio and Ryan at the bottom. However, due to how the cookie crumbled last week, the votes kind of sort of went in their favor. Although we see why.
Yeah, they thought that it was because of their...
Right. And it really has somewhat inflated their ego a little bit. That is really their detriment in the game. And it's like, I guess, like, a lesson learned is that, like, again, I would say, as somebody that hasn't really played, but played, if you're on the, like, I don't know, I just, like, it's just like, take each vote by each vote. And like, no matter if you think you're in the power position, no matter if you feel like you're at the bottom, the one thing that I have learned from being a commentator and like talking so closely with you and Wendell and other Survivor players is that, like, always keep the conversation going. Mm-hmm. And at times it is very important to steer the narrative, but I find it more to be in the backseat or the passenger, giving the directions and allowing someone else to drive.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we've seen, sort of seen Carla and James doing by letting Gio and Ryan push their ideas when it lines up with what they want to do.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, like this episode, making the moves that they deem necessary. But yeah, I don't know. I just thought...
And I didn't really think he threw the challenge.
I think he did, but it's definitely possible that it's some sort of cover up. But yeah, Gio and Ryan are a weird duo. And I just feel like, unless you know for a fact, but it's like, even if you think Cassidy's going home, as far as you know, Cassidy's probably voting one of you guys out. So it's like, why put the ball in Carla and James's court and let them make that decision? You know what I mean? Like, the only time I'd ever want to lose a challenge. I agree with what you said about, you know, you got to get your feet wet before, like, you don't want to go to the merge and never have been a tribal council, because you're not going to be experienced with it. Also, if your tribe has never been a tribal, that might put a target on your ass back. But at this point, the numbers are pretty much even. Like, Coco and Baca have the same amount. Vezzy has one fewer member. It's like, why? I don't really understand the risk. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Don't have an idol. Like, you don't know what these other people have been doing. It seems like and again, if he were to be in the control, okay, I get it. But it's like, again, as us as viewers, it's like, Ryan, you're creating unnecessary issues for you.
Yeah.
instead of just kind of like letting the game, you're definitely like kind of getting your hands in it. And I understand it. Y'all been very comfortable this whole time. And now it's like, you know, y'all clearly know the merge must be coming. And so it's like, let's get rid of somebody that we don't trust. But again, it's just like.
Yeah. And it's obviously hard to know when you're actually in control and when you're not. Like, I'm, of course, they think they're in control. But at the end of the day, no matter how confident they are, they should know that Cassidy is probably not siding with them. So why allow Carla? Why have to put your trust in James and Carla to go through with the plan? Like, they're not in the middle here. And so it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
And at the very least, she's the swing vote. And you never know which way the teeter is going to tide.
Exactly. And so when the challenge ends, Vezzy gets to pick people for a journey. So they send Gio, they send Janine, and then they pick Jesse from their own group. And they get dropped off at this dock, and they have to hop in a paddle boat and paddle across the water to this sort of little sandbar where they're going to do their advantage sort of shenanigans. Those waves were kind of intense, though.
They definitely were. It seemed like people had issues getting off the boat because GL definitely took a little L.
Jesse fell too.
And here we see another like reenactment of Noelle from previous seasons where GL is basically laying it on thick that, you know, he's at the bottom. He really needs this. And, you know, he wants to risk his vote. But I think the thing that I enjoyed the most about this was that, like, Janine and Jesse were like, okay, well, we're not just going to give it to you. Like, I don't know. Like, what was your thoughts on all of them risking it? Like, I felt like...
It was very interesting. I thought... Yeah, it's... I have a lot of thoughts about it. I do think Janine and Jesse are both in positions where their vote is important. Now, coming off a challenge win, you know you're not going to have to go to tribal right then. Also, you know that once Coco goes, there's going to be 13 left. Presumably, you're going to merge either around 13 or 12. So I think that is fair to have the thought process of, hey, even if I lose my vote, that might not occur until the merge, in which case the one vote might not be that big of a deal. So I like that thought process as well. Obviously, if they go to another tribal, though, like Jesse not having a vote on his tribe could be a big impact.
That could definitely be the vote to send Jesse home.
Exactly. And so now if Noelle still stole his vote, that would be kind of funny because he doesn't have one. But I actually wonder how that would play out. But anyways. And so you think about... Obviously, losing the vote for one tribal, especially if you think it's going to be a post-merge tribal right away, you would definitely take a 50-50 shot at like an actual advantage versus that, right? So I think, you know, Jesse and Janine, you both come across as very smart players. And so for me, they probably figured that by Gio saying so openly that he was going to take it, that like if I'm Jesse and Gio's saying that, I might think, okay, Janine's probably less likely to risk her vote knowing that he's trying to get it. And so maybe that would incentivize me to also risk my vote. And then if Janine and Jesse both thought that way, then that's probably what led to all of them risking their vote. Now, obviously 33% is a low chance, but like I said, if you know there's a valid advantage that you can gain, like a 1 in 3 chance for your, like of risking it in a, like to get a knowledge, if you know it's the knowledge is power, like I'd risk probably 1 in 3 for a knowledge is power versus like just one vote, which is probably going to be after the merge. Like the final 13 at the merge, like is your vote that important? Like it could be, but.
Yeah, but I also feel like sometimes knowledge of power can be somewhat of a tricky advantage if given you are at, like I love my baby boy Gio, but like, you know, like if you at the bottom and like you don't really know much about what's going on, like the not, like I don't know, I'm just not risking it. But I just also feel like when you go to these summits, sometimes it's better to be like Roxroy, because like what was the point of Gio doing all of that like talking? And essentially everybody was like, I'm still going to risk it. So you might as well go in there like Roxroy.
I mean, I think we see, we saw how the talking worked in like Noelle's case when she went and got the advantage, because she made inroads with the other players. And I don't know. I just think Gio's social game is kind of lacking. Like, I think you should go in and tell people that you're going to risk it. But I think he really played it up as like, oh, I'm in trouble, I'm going to risk it. Whereas like, I felt like Noelle was like, hey guys, like I really need this. I promise you, if we have the opportunity to work together, like I want to work with you guys and play it more like that. Whereas if you're just like, oh, I'm in trouble, I'm going to risk it, it's like, unless you're offering me something, why do I care? I don't care. Like, you could go home. It doesn't matter to me. Like, I think Gio should have really tried to make some solid relationships. And then at the end, talk about how he needs it and say like, if you guys could help me out, like, I promise you, I'll have your back. Give the players something to gain. Don't just try to like pull up a pity, you know, get pity.
I can see that. I don't think I was looking at it like that, but that I definitely can see a difference in that. So yeah. I respect that.
But I know what you mean. Like sometimes it's not, you just have to, you have to give the other players a reason to let you have it, you know?
Right.
Just them thinking you're in danger isn't really a very good reason. Like,
right. It's like, okay, that could help my game.
Yeah. And I do think advertising that you're going to risk it is generally a good thing, because it tells the other players your odds are definitely going to be lower.
Right.
But like I said, if you're a strategic player who's willing to take some risks, like a 50-50 or even a one-third shot at something you know could really help your game, could still be worth it at the end of the day. So I don't know. I think these journeys, I always, and like they're always solid, but I just feel like 5 episodes in, it's like we know what we're getting each time. It's like now they know when they go back to camp, they just show everyone their no. And it's sort of the same thing with with that. It's also sort of the same thing with like the beware beads advantage. Like we see it for the third time. Like it's just kind of getting a little.
Well, I think the beads are a little different in the sense that you won't know about the beads until the merge. I disagree, because I feel like this is my same take on 41 and 42 was that like, I love to see the different variables of the same thing. Like, I don't know, for me, I think that is like what is so spicy about Survivor is that like, listen, we'll give you the same thing and let's see what type of options that you can come up with. And another thing about these end roads, and me personally, it wouldn't necessarily be so much for getting the knowledge is power reward, as I really want to see if any of these relationships that these people build, like it seems like, I remember last season they were in 41 and 42 when they would have to take these walks, they seemed to be more concerned about the relationships that the people could potentially be building. And on this season, maybe they're just not showing it, but that doesn't seem to even be a thing. They just want to know what you got. And so I feel like I definitely would not risk my vote. And I probably would be a person to say like, hey, like, I'm not going to risk my vote in the sense that you saying that you're going to risk your vote, but in hopes that like, if we make the merge together, that we can share some information or have an alliance that could be mutually beneficial. And I think that, in my opinion, that's just as good as knowledge is power, because it's like, that's guaranteeing you knowledge with someone else.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But to your point, I think that's why I think these journeys are a little played out, because everyone knows there's going to be some sort of advantage to be had. And so instead of just making relationships, it's like strategizing about the advantage the whole time. And then everyone back at camp knows that there's an advantage. So even if you get something, it's like, how do you, like, you can't, everyone's going to kind of know you have something, and it just kind of ruins, I don't know. It feels a little played out in my opinion. I always love a good, like discussing it. I'm actually taking a class on like behavioral economics right now, which it's a prospect. We're learning about prospect theory, which is basically about like how people weigh their like decisions that are risky. So I was actually doing homework for that right before this. And so I'm not trying to get too nerdy, but it is interesting.
Let's go there.
It is interesting to think about like with these journeys, like what factors influence whether someone wants to risk their vote or not risk their vote, and like what kind of rewards incentivize that. And I think I like seeing that part of it play out, but it's like now we've seen it play out 12, 15 times in the last year, and it's like nothing's really changing and everyone knows what to expect. I like to see, I know exactly what you mean by like seeing the different iterations of the same thing happen and seeing how they play out. But at this point, I think I've seen enough of it where I'm like, I want something spicy and new. But yeah, so we see Gio gets the advantage. The other Jesse and Janine open up their reward in front of everyone to show that they didn't get anything, which is, like I said, sort of the common move nowadays because everyone knows that you might have something. And Gio gets the knowledge of power advantage. Unfortunately, it doesn't really seem like it's going to be a big factor here because...
And this was also something that, again, I feel like... Because we have not seen a lot from Coco, and which I feel two ways about it. One, I do love the editing style of the new Age of Survivor, where they leave a lot off, not just because they have so much footage, but I do feel like they purposely leave out a lot of information or purposely leave out like relationships because I feel like it makes it more interesting for us to guess how people will vote, and especially as we're going into Emerge. But I just, as a viewer, thought it was so weird that Gio would reveal this to Carla, because we have not seen much of any interaction with them, and all we have seen is him and Ryan. So for me, it was just like, on one point, it's like, Gio, why are you sharing this with Carla? But two, it's like, I feel like, and again, this is my girl, Carla. So it's like, maybe Carla, maybe Gio and Carla they clearly have some type of relationship that he is wanting to like break bread with her and share information.
Yeah.
Or is it like after the vote out last week, is he feeling like things are in my way? Let me expand my empire to Carla. But I just thought it was like interesting. So I would just felt like, again, because we haven't seen much of Coco, because Coco hasn't really been on the chopping block, but these last two episodes and the other 3.5 episodes were really on the other two tribes.
Yeah. Yep. No, I think this sort of shows us why Gio and Ryan are so confident in a way, is that they think they're very close with Carla and James, to the point that they're sharing this advantage with Carla. And so in hindsight, it's easy to say like, that was stupid, but I'm sure that he thought they were quite close. But I think in the first episode that they connected over being LGBTQ Latino.
Right. But even with that, I would say I'm not sharing this, but nobody with Ryan.
I totally agree with you.
Because we see Carla out here playing, and she ain't shared that idol with no one. But I also felt like, although I was sad that Lindsay left last episode, just because I felt like Lindsay's energy was just like upfront, direct, like, you know, like, y'all not voting for me. Y'all should be trying to put targets on me because I'm the baddest, in, like, you know what I mean? I also felt like Lindsay's spirit reemerged because...
When
Carla found out, and again, if I were Carla, and maybe this is why I don't make it this far in Kageon, is that I would pursue a more tighter relationship with Gio knowing this information. For me, this would have been a reason to want to keep Gio. However, Carla got the Lindsay spirit and was like, oh, this is a great thing. But wait, it's a great thing because the knowledge is power, and I got the idol. What if he thinks I got the idol? Who got the idol? I was like, oh my God, what in the Lindsay Carla is happening?
No, that's true. I didn't even think about it from that angle where Carla has an idol. So the fact that he has that is like extra impactful. But I know what you mean, where I think a lot of times we see someone comes to somebody with information or a secret or something. And a lot of times that person's first response would be like, oh, they have an advantage. I need to get them out. Where it's like, no, they're coming to you. That shows that they trust you. They wouldn't be doing that if they didn't trust you. Now, I do think in this instance, Carla has such a solid relationship with Cassidy and James from what we can see, that she's really got a hand in every pot on her tribe. So now it's like, oh, if he has that advantage and I already wasn't really sure about him, sure, he's showing me some trust, but at the same time, like, that's sort of all the more reason for her to get him out once she knows she could trust other people.
True, but I think the thing that I have learned the most in Survivor News with you and Wendeezy is that knowledge truly is power in the game of Survivor. And so, I don't know, I just feel like I, of course, would have had that like Lindsay moment and been like, oh my God, he could target me. But honestly, I feel like Carla has been doing a great job of like, no one knows she has the idol.
Yeah.
So like, again, yeah. In my opinion, she's the dead, like she's the biggest threat of all. So I get why she would do that. But in my opinion, I feel like we still get rid of Ryan. We make it to the merge. And if Gio becomes
Oh, you're saying
problem,
get rid of Ryan.
Yeah. Get rid of Ryan, keep Gio. And then again, in my opinion, that's even more of a shield because let Gio start popping off or like, you know, or I need to save you, Jack, and I need to get rid of Gio. I now have this knowledge and I can say, well, listen, he has the knowledge, his power idol.
True. No, that's actually when I thought you meant that she should instead sort of turn on like Cassidy. But
oh, no,
when it's coming down to the Ryan versus Gio debate. I think that actually is a very solid point. There's so many ways to look at it. Like there's obviously pros and cons, but
right.
When someone's showing you that level of trust, now I don't know what Carla's relationship with like is like with Ryan necessarily, but I would guess Carla has a stronger relationship with Gio, especially after he shares this information. That is certainly something to consider, but Carla's in such a good spot that there's almost like no wrong answer.
There's no wrong way. Yeah. Right. But again, there is no wrong way, but
I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean.
As more of an advantage for you. However, let's just talk about Ryan for a second. I love Ryan. I really do. Bless his good old heart. Okay? Yeah. But one thing I know in Survivor is that, first of all, you see people flip out when they like, listen, we going to vote Wendell out, Jack. However, we gonna say you the decoy. Time and time and time and time again, that even me proposing that to you, like say, you know, listen, Survivor News Alliance, we gonna keep Wendell on spring break. But I'm gonna tell Wendell Jack that you going on spring break. Like even that in itself in Survivor, the person in your position flips out. And then wants to target me for even suggesting it. So it's like, Ryan, what are you doing? Like, why would you ever?
Well, he went a different direction in that. He basically told them to target
himself,
it's
basically telling me. Now, mind you, I'm trying to like keep it cool because I like Ryan and I get where he was coming from. And I did think it was quite fun. Well, I just thought it was quite
funny. No, I know.
How hard he was selling it.
Oh, no.
Like, listen, Jack, I messed up. But I want you.
Yeah.
Who the person that I'm in the closest alliance with put a name down for you, but I want you to have the best shot that you can have out here on Survivor because it means the world to me. For you, Jack, to have baby boy, like give
him an Oscar for that one.
Is it Emmy season? Is it Oscar? Because when he was out there, Cassidy was like, hey, what are you doing? Like, normally when I'm frustrated, Cass, I go to the gym. And pump iron, right? Because I'm out here. Got to take it out on this tree. Why are you frustrated? And Ryan's like, I'm so glad you asked. They're targeting me. And like, you know what I mean? Like, baby boy.
I know. He is not a very smooth, not a very smooth criminal. And he and Gio, it's just so weird because neither of them are very good at the game.
But
and for some reason, they think that they're
that's the best part. It's literally like, and again, I love Gio and I love Ryan. So
I like them both too. Yeah.
But it literally was like watching a Hallmark Christmas movie. Like, you know, it's like you just enjoy. Like, I love the fact that they are so committed. Ryan the most. Oh, Ryan no. was beating up a tree. What now? What the tree got to do with it, Ryan? You just chop it down the tree. The tree, like, what I do?
Yeah, it was definitely just a mess. Like, I don't. Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. Like, they were so confident. I'm like.
And I felt like, honestly, if that was the role to take. Because I also feel like there's messaging in non-communication. So I just feel like, okay, talk to Cassidy, but don't talk game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Like, there is other ways to show that you're the target. But again, no Survivor player, when you're this close to the merge,
is going
to
be like, hey, let me
just get rid of me. Like, I'm going home. Like, it's just like, and
makes no sense.
Yeah. It makes no sense. And it's like, that has not been now, if it were Gabler,
maybe
I might have believed it. Like, you know, because like I feel like Gabler has a story like my body's not working. It's my body's giving out on me. I, like, you know, like, but I just felt like Ryan, like you're the physical one in your tribe. And the fact that like you don't even see that, like, I don't know, I felt bad, but it was like so entertaining to watch in the sense that like I appreciated him at least giving his all to it.
Yeah, it's just, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it just didn't make any sense. Like, even if he was in the right part, even if he was in the numbers, like, that angle doesn't make sense. Like, why would you say, like, I feel like he thought it was, like, mastermind. But say you and I were in an alliance together, and I wanted out, and I wanted Wendell out, and I wouldn't want to be like, Bryce, go tell him it's me. Like, and then he thinks it's me and I vote him out. It's not genius. It's just like, you could just let him think whoever.
Right.
And then if you vote him out, it's the same thing. Like, why are you feeding him your own name? That doesn't make any sense.
I felt like it would have been way more realistic if he were to say Gio.
I agree.
Like, he's not cutting it. Like, you know, he's not, like, you know, but again, I also feel like, and this is where I have to give the unspoken credit, because we don't see it, but for somebody that has played 9 to 11 days, I feel like to see this level of confidence, right? The real MVP and the real award should probably go to James and Carla for like making them feel that comfortable.
Definitely.
Like, that is like,
even Cassidy played her role really well.
Oh, no. Cassidy was queening. Again, first of all, I just love the Coco tribe. Like, there's like, I just love them all. They're all great players. And it just is like, it's the tribe that like not works together, but it's like that, like they, it's just great. But again, I just have to like, from what I feel like I would understand, in order for a player to get that confident, you have to have somebody making you feel comfortable. And we clearly know it's not Cassidy, just in the sense that like they're gunning for her.
Yeah.
So it has to be Carla and James. And again, 100%. I feel like I'm giving another pick to Carla in the sense that like, oh, like, we see you, but also like to James as well. We see James with the Lindsay vote last week and like took me by surprise. And we see how much Lindsay trusted James. And like, yeah, so dare I say, like, is Carla and James the dynamic duo? Like, yeah. I feel like they're the most,
I think they've been the strongest duo that we've seen so far in the game. Yeah. It's weird. I love the chaos, some of the chaos and some of the, like, the misplays by people. It keeps it fresh, but there's definitely been some people in this pre-merge that have just been not the strongest Survivor players, like on each tribe too, like people just making blunders that are costing them. But I guess how it goes.
Yeah. We make it to tribal and Ryan is still out there. Like, and even Jeff is like, That's like, I at one point thought Jeff was going to be like, should we even vote?
Yeah, if you put me on a tribe with Ryan and Gio, I think I'd be chilling.
Don't say that. But again, like, I just wonder in another realm, if they really were in power, like, would this, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like.
That's why it's hard to imagine a world where they are in power. It's like if one person on that tribe was like actually with them, they would have the numbers, and then this whole like the plan would work, but it would just be like, what are you doing? Like, I don't, how is this possible?
don't do that. But yeah. But unfortunately, you know, not really much at tribal. It's more like the camp life. And unfortunately, my baby boy Gio goes home, and he goes home with an advantage in his pocket. And I just love Gio. I think that he is an amazing player, and I'm like, you know, an amazing person. And I think that his story was great. And honestly, like, whether or not I feel like, however people consider how Gio played, I think that from watching this show and just knowing Gio's story, I feel like he still is a winner. I feel like, you know, he has gained a whole Survivor family, even outside of this season. And so, you know, it's a game, and he was, baby boy was playing. So I can't be mad, because I just can't be mad.
Yeah, absolutely.
My question is, in a hypothetical world, was there, so I guess it's a two-part question. In a hypothetical world, is there any way that Gio, like, and again, all the information that we know is true now, is there any way in a hypothetical world that he could have yielded his knowledge, his power vote to help him stay? And I probably would say no, because he doesn't know that Carla has the idol, right?
Exactly.
And so I almost feel like Gio, because I almost feel like, because Gio did not play it safe, is partly the reason that he went home. Because if he played it safe, did not get this advantage, they still would be targeting Ryan.
Maybe. Yeah. I it's hard to, well, I think, well, the bigger issue is that he shared it with Carla.
But again, he shared it with Carla, but I feel like that would have been inevitable, because we see what he did. But again, like, if he really got nothing, we see, because the fact that he shared it with Carla is the reason that Carla was like, nope, you got to go, because it targets me. And again, that's where, like, I feel like, kind of sort of back to your point about, like, we know when they go on these walks, you get advantages, and kind of sort of gets old. Like, I really do think there is something to, like, you know what? I'm going to be out here relationship building. So I'm going to keep my vote, and I'm going to allow you to get the whatever, whatever. And had Gio done that and, like, got nothing, got his vote and came back, shared that with the group. Like, but then again, I also feel like, who knows, maybe Carla would have gotten paranoid that he would have had something, but he could have read it in front of everyone.
It's hard too, because if you don't risk your vote, you still don't come back with anything to show. Like,
but you saw how I guess if you risk your vote, then you come back with the thing that says you lost your vote. But okay.
So, but if you don't even risk it, like, what do you, like, you just say, oh, I didn't risk it, everyone just has to believe you.
Then okay. I guess it's still, they still could have possibly believed it, but I still think their threat level would have been low, and it still could have been Ryan.
It's possible. But I think that's more him sharing it with Carla than anything. But
all right.
I know exactly what you mean. And yeah, it's also kind of a shame for Gio that the advantage he did win was a knowledge of power, because say he wins a steal a vote, then at least he can make, now I think he was so comfortable that they wouldn't even use it, but at least you have the ability to, like, save yourself. But
right,
I don't know. I think it's just sort of a testament to the fact that,
here you go, you about to hate on this. Oh, go ahead.
No, like you said, knowledge is power, and by sharing your knowledge with people, you're actually
giving up your power. Yeah,
you're giving up some of that power because now you're more people have power. So you're just relatively lowering your own position in the game. And that's why I always think with the mindset when I'm doing survivor related sort of games or whatever, like you could be my closest ally, but I don't want to share info until it's until it's actually pertinent. Like, what's the point of sharing the knowledge is power until you actually need to make a move with the knowledge is power?
Well, I mean, I disagree because I feel like if you have a close ally that you trust, you should share and tell your moves with, because in the event that it's a last day for them to play an idol and you try to do some sneaky-ish and that person won't play the idol and then you get idled out.
That could happen sometimes, but
you know,
but that's not about. Well, that wasn't a really
no. That was advantage. Like you did not tell me that you was voting Ramona.
Yeah, well, that was me making a move. That wasn't an advantage. Well, I mean,
in the game, if we Thelma and Louise, like you got to tell me these things because, like, I like you knew I had the idol.
Yeah, that's a different story. I mean, it's fine. I'm just saying, like, I think obviously maybe you have someone that unless you're like. 100% want to go to the final three with someone though. Just in general, I don't think because if you tell someone something, that either means eventually that you either have to go to the final. Like the only way it's not going to get out is if you go to the final three with them, or you have to take them out. And you're now restricting your options to two things that are much more difficult than just not telling someone.
Right. But here's the thing though, with the Ryan and Gio pair, I think that they would have been a great final two.
Yeah, which is fine. Why for them to share it between each other? But
well, right, that's what. Right, that's where.
Or why is Ellie sharing with Sammy? Or like, you know what I mean?
Well, right.
Yeah. There's just too much going on.
Like, I get it. I get it. But also, like, you know, I feel like, and I don't want to make excuses for Ellie because you know I like Ellie. But again, I also feel like when you get this close to the merge, I definitely think it is like let's try to lock down the fort. So mm-hmm. I do feel like in that essence, you are taking a risk by sharing, but like, let's lock down this fort. If we can get this to final four, then we're impenetrable. And like,
That's so challenging though. But I know what you mean, where you're about to merge. You want your whole tribe to be on the same page. And
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, but listen, I hope Ellie makes the merch. But anyway, this was a great episode, a great duo episode with the baby boy.
We got the merge next weekend next episode.
Next episode, yes. And so I'm excited to listen and hear how you and Wendell will do as your baby boy will be on spring break next week. So
where are you going?
I am going, you know, for a little trip. I'm going to Italy.
Oh.
So, you know, I just, you know, baby boy want to see the world. So the baby boys, Wendell and Jack, will be holding me down in my absence. So y'all have to let me know in the comments who is the moderator.
Special guest, too.
It will be amazing. But Jack Atkins, thank you so much again for covering this week with us and pulling up to Philly. Truly a treat. And listen, with the Hoochie Daddy shorts, Jack out here, a whole zaddy in the calendar. Okay. Okay. Jack giving us some thigh action. And on that note, this is your
Survivor News.
And that is going to conclude this week's Survivor News of Survivor Season 43, Episode 5. Appreciate you listening to your baby boys breaking down yet another episode of Survivor. Don't forget, if you enjoyed this podcast, you can watch this audio podcast on video over there on YouTube. So head over to YouTube, type in Bryce Isaiah, click thumbs up on this video and subscribe. And make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it is that you can find podcasts. The Purple Pants podcast awaits for you to subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. And don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that it's Cheetah Tata, because it's
the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. while she's trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. She's trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.